everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Coming up on this week's show, we're going to be talking about ground improvements and ground development, as later we'll be joined by Richard Timms, chairman of Sheffield FC, as they've announced exciting plans for a brand new stadium back in the city of Sheffield. But before that, we're going to Radcliffe FC, and the club have announced in partnership with Radcliffe Juniors a brand new regeneration project in the heart of the town. In partnership with Bury Council, the Lancashire FA and the Football Foundation, the club have announced the One Hub project, which is a series of developments aimed at improving facilities, including in this first instance, turning the local playing fields at Redbank into a state-of-the-art football facility. And for more on this now, down the other end of the phone, we should be joined by chairman of Radcliffe FC. So welcome back to the show, to Paul Hilton. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. And well, this sounds very, very exciting. Tell us where the idea has come from for this new football hub.
It's something that's been in development for quite a while. And obviously, you know, anything of this kind of magnitude, as you can imagine, takes, you know, a certain amount of time. But this is the first part of it that we're able to really kind of put out to the public. And so, yeah, it's quite an exciting project, hopefully, where we can really start to bed in the growth into our town that we've been looking to do for over an extended period. And yeah, the 3G site over on the juniors platform will be able to really give us a boost for the whole town, really, not just the football club.
And obviously it's been about 3 years or so since the juniors and FC came together. How pleased are you that this is the first step in the regeneration, that it is going to be predominantly for the junior side of the setup?
Yeah, well, what it does is it starts to build everything together in the way that we want it to do it. You know, inevitably, again, like the planning of these things takes time, as told us the integration, and this is really one of the key milestones along the way. You know, over the 4 years that we've been working together and branded together correctly, you know, as one football club, you know, both us and the junior side have experienced a real growth in our participation or attendances or successes, however you look at it. And this is kind of a natural progression in that, which is to kind of bring a more professional and joined up approach to the way that we develop footballers in the area, and again, that community provision that we give back to the town.
And from the junior side of things, I mean, for those who are unaware, I mean, what's the scale of Radcliffe Juniors? What age range are we talking about? And does this mean that essentially they're all going to be under one roof?
Yeah, essentially that's the idea. And well, I mean, even now we're already having to think ahead due to the projected numbers that we've got. But yeah, it's from four all the way up through the joining up with us. And they were, I think 5 years ago, they were looking at around eight teams, but now they're at 28 and growing. So, you know, I think Lee's exact quote was 40 kids to 300 kids in that time. So it's a real development success story in our area. And the key thing about our juniors, and one of the reasons why they were the right club for us to work with when we were sort of embarking on how we did grow our offering as a football club, was their real sort of non-negotiable on the affordability factor of it. And they're a completely not-for-profit enterprise that work with us under that banner. And that means that every saving we can make, every benefit that we can put back into the football goes right back into ensuring that the most possible participation can happen in the town, and I think that gets acknowledged, fortunately, by the town itself and the uptake that we've seen in it, and obviously they've started to be successful as well. So that's been really, really good.
And it's tremendous stuff, that. And the other benefit is to the town, as you know, I've been going past Redbank playing fields for years since I was a kid, and this is going to rejuvenate the area completely, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen this really nice thing start to happen, which is that, you know, if you're in the town on a Saturday now early, the fact that the brand is, you know, I mean, people thought it was radical at the time, but you know, people are starting to see now the reasons why we make these decisions. But that shirt is everywhere now. You know, everywhere you go, all the kids are running around wearing it because they're going and playing for juniors. And so that means that as a vision of what it is that you see when you come to the town on a Saturday, you're seeing the club, and therefore, and the club's representing the town, and it really kind of knits together. But like you say, Redbank, you know, it's been a good standard football pitch, but the actual facilities there have been in need of updating for a long, long time.
I was going to say, I played on that pitch when I was a kid. So
did you?
I don't think it's changed. So it's, you know,
it's not. I mean, the drainage is great. I mean, the drainage is arguably better than the stadium. But the actual facility there just isn't up to scratch, and it doesn't. It certainly doesn't suit a growing, forward-thinking football club. So so now when you drive up that road, once the facility's in place, you know, you're going to see, you're on your way to the ground. You're going to see, you know, a brand new pavilion with state-of-the-art facilities, classroom, cafe, changing rooms of a high quality, new car park, new entrances to the site, and then obviously the fenced off 3G, 4G, whatever you want to call them, facility in the centre and its floodlights and it just looking smart and branded correctly as part of the club. And you're going to drive past that and you're going to drive into the ground where, you know, obviously we're going to try and give you a good experience on the football pitch as well.
Well, let's talk about you know, the vision overall, because this is obviously phase one. If you call it phase one, that means there's more coming down the track. So what's the ultimate aim here, Paul, for the club, and what can supporters expect after this development?
Well, this is the first piece of the jigsaw in terms of the larger construction types of events that we want to try and bring on, because our aim ultimately, and you know, we haven't been shy about this, is to take this club full time. And in order to do that, we need certain pieces of infrastructure and also, you know, the facilities that allow us to be able to continue to develop in the right way, or at least they have to be on the roadmap. So as we carry on from here, there's the ground itself, you know, if you've been there recently, you'll have seen, you know, every time you'll have come down there, there's been some kind of development moving on and moving us forward, and we intend to carry that on, and we've got some plans in the pipeline that we're waiting for certain pieces of the jigsaw to drop into place before we'd really talk about them. But be aware that there's significant stuff on the pipeline, and really we've got a site there that can really be adapted to a real footballing hub like we're trying to progress here for the town and for just football in general, and we just want to keep progressing that. So yeah, I'm going to be a little cagey on the future plans, but yeah, you know, there's a roadmap there and we're working to it.
Oh, brilliant. And I was going to say, I mean, this roadmap, it's very similar to a four-year-old playing football. You know, eventually a boy or a girl, that they'll make it into semi-pro or professional football, hopefully. I mean, how excited are you about the plans that are being put in place now for those kids to learn and develop as Radcliffe kids and hopefully to go on to play for their town's football club and maybe even higher?
Well, this is what we want. You know, this ultimately, that's how you can measure success, isn't it? And you know, we're very proud to have some, you know, pretty high profile people who've come through our system in the past. And obviously, you know, Craig Dawson's having a great time at the moment at West Ham, and you know, he's a real sense of pride for us in terms of our you know, development path. And we want the next one. You know, we've had a few smaller successes in between Craig making it as big as he has. But we want to continue that on, and we want that legacy to be there for the town, so that they know that this is a place where, you know, if you're good enough, we're going to give you the best chance. And I want kids to know that, you know, from the surrounding areas, that this is a place where you can come and be developed, and you know, we're going to give you the best possible opportunity to succeed. And that it's a real key driver. Even the ownership that came in with me, and when we started to look at how to develop the club, it's been a key position for us the whole time. But you can't switch all the switches on immediately. You have to take time to build. And, you know, our education and academy offering is another part of the jigsaw that we're making some reviews around, and how we can greater develop that, especially in the sense that there's a new high school due to be built in the town in the near future. And now that the good news is out there that it's been approved, and there's an academy in to build that and look at scoping that out. You know, we want to make sure that we're providing the best possible follow-on education that includes sport in the town, so that people can say, you know, this is an area where I can develop myself, and it's important.
Paul Hilton there, chairman of Radcliffe, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. So exciting plans there at Radcliffe. Exciting plans as well over the Pennines in Sheffield, as Sheffield FC have announced their plans to return to the city of Sheffield in a brand new stadium. And for more on this now, we should be joined down the other end of the phone by the chairman at Sheffield FC. It's a welcome to the show to Richard Timms. Well, Richard, a big thank you for joining us. And these sound very, very exciting plans. Tell us a bit more about how much work's gone on behind the scenes to get the club to this point.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a journey because I'm not sure if you or your listeners know this story, but for 141 years we were actually nomadic. As the first football club in the world, our forefathers decided they didn't need to put roots down in the early parts of the game. So, you know, we had Bramall Lane, Sheffield United's home, way before Sheffield United were formed, and have played all over the city, really, with just the intention of turning up and playing football. Obviously, a few years after our founding, it got all a bit serious and people started to put roots down. So, we you know, since I got involved, we've always been a little bit on the back foot. You know, we were playing at Don Valley Stadium. And then we found an opportunity in Dronfield, which is a little town just outside Sheffield. It's actually in Derbyshire, which some of our rivals continually remind us of. And we put some roots down there. So, you know, we own that pitch now. We've got a nice little non-league stadium. We've got a little country pub that serves real ale, and everything's hunky-dory. But ultimately, it's not in our city. And my vocation for a number of years is to try and relocate the football club back in the city. Football's coming home could be used on that one. You know, as the oldest football club in the world, our city has never really, up until we recently, shouted about it. And I got involved and thought it was time, but, it's been a journey. We've got something to be proud of. So alongside the launch that you picked up on in the new stadium, which is only about a mile up the road from our existing facility, we've launched a new website and a new merchandise and membership cam and digital media campaign to tell the world where football kicked off. And we have a great deal more interest usually from international markets than we do local markets. But, hopefully that will change. So the new facilities, it's just a mile up the road. It'll be 4,000 capacity with a heritage and history visitor centre that we hopefully will be working with FIFA on, and a great food and drink offer and a place to watch, grassroots football at a reasonable price.
The artist impression of the facility is it looks amazing. To say it's transformative for the club would be an understatement, wouldn't it? I mean, but there's two sides to this. There's the football inside and what this means for the club. But you just touched upon there that the heritage side of it. How important is that arm to these developments?
Well, it's massive because it's part of the whole offer, really. Obviously, we're we're playing in the NPL. We haven't got the lofty ambitions to get to the Football League. We, of course, we'd like to win every game, and we could be in the Premier League, I suppose, in 15 years' time, but it's hardly likely. So, we just want to offer an alternative, I suppose, to professional football and keep it real, really. We want to play a couple of levels above. We've got a very successful ladies' side, as you're probably aware. And we've got every community team that you can think of, whether that be disability, walking, football, futsal, and in the very, very near future, we'll be launching an e-team to play in the FIFA games. So we are a progressive football club, and we are a bit of a brand called the world's first football club. And as I say, if we get the brand right and appeal to international fans, the football side will look after itself, and creating that sustainable football club's always been my grand plan. Not just piling money into players on the pitch without having the resource off it. So this facility will give us that. We had 450 Cologne fans turn up at a game a couple of years ago. We do have international appeal and we do have partnerships around the world. So, yes, I suppose you could call it a new era in the world's first football club's history.
This is going to increase those international visitors, isn't it? Not just to the club, but to Sheffield as well, because it has got a proud history within association football.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our rivals Hallam have got the oldest football ground in the world. We invented corner kicks, free kicks, crossbars. The first floodlit game was played here. The FA like to think football started in London in 1863. But as a governing body, what came first, the governing body or the clubs? And of course, it's the clubs. So, there were a few people argued that case over the years, but has now been recognised by FIFA, etc., that one's put to bed. But yeah, we want to make it an international visitor centre. As I say, we have quite a big interest from Germany, who love the authenticity and heritage. They follow Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League, but they like coming to the Coaching Horses, having a pint and walking in 1 minute before and then popping out at half-time for another pint. It's unusual these days, but that's the kind of positioning we want, really.
And when it comes to the football inside, like you say, I mean, you've got lots of teams there and lots of plans for more to grow participation and that side of things. How important is this development for that side of the club?
Well, it's enormous because we don't have training facilities at our current ground. It's a nice little non-league ground, but, you know, it's a bit enclosed. So we actually train and play all over the city. So this site is actually 18 acres, so it's a big site. And it will accommodate all our teams and allow us the 4G training, etc., that we've longed for. And of course, as a non-league team, it's expensive when you're outsourcing your training.
And when it comes to the next steps, obviously, you know, this is it going to be cheap? I wouldn't imagine on that side of things. So what's how long's this process and funding and that kind of thing?
Okay, so I mean, the process has been happening for quite a while, doing the planning research on our current site. I mean, we have to obviously sell our current site, which we'll be putting planning application in the next probably 3 months, 4 months. We work over two authorities because I mentioned that local authorities, we play in Derbyshire, but actually the new site's in South Yorkshire. So dealing with one council's hard enough, but dealing with two just doubles it up. But we seem to have got the politics and the stars aligned now. And of course, you know, our current site, we're not just selling it for a profit as a property developer. It will be an enabler to build something of local, national and international heritage significance. You know, this is the home of football. If you're the first football club in the world, everybody theoretically came for you. So, you know, the home of football is a title lots of people use. But, you know, you've got the home of cricket, which is Lords, the home of golf, which is St Andrews. So why not have Sheffield FC as the home of football for one time in a football fan's life to visit where football kicked off?
You mentioned earlier, Richard, as well about the new website and the membership and yeah. Merchandise and that. I mean, how important is that side of things and how can people get involved?
Well, I mean, the revenue, the off-the-field revenue is very important, as we know, as non-league football clubs. But, you know, our membership scheme, you can actually join free if you go on our website, join the journey. And it's about being part of history, really. It's not about which team you support. It's the fact that you're supporting the heritage of the game, which, you know, true genuine football fans are very keen on. It's not, as I say in my speaking assignments, it's not all about how much Gareth Bale earns out of the game. You know, it's about integrity, respect and community, remembering where you came from. So, you know, the membership scheme is £30 or free. You get the benefits and of course, you can buy merchandise. And, you know, we've only just launched and, you know, first week we signed up 1,500, which, you know, as football fans, you know, that's a great start for us. So onwards and upwards and, you know, you can join, be part of history.
Chairman of Sheffield FC, Richard Timms there, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. And that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to Paul and Richard for joining me this week. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a safe week, and you'll be hearing from us again soon. Bye-bye.